who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And this you are greatly rejoiced. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And that genuineness of your faith, being much more than precious than gold, that it perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen you love, therefore you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with inexpressible and full of glory.
Good morning. It is truly great to see everyone today. And we're very thankful for your presence. And fellas, my mic is a little bit live. If you want to turn it down just a little bit, I think everybody can hear me now, right? The Verizon guy who went to your phone company, right? But again, it is good to see everyone this morning. And I'm very thankful to see you. And to all of our mothers, we wish you a happy Mother's Day. There is a family that this week lost a sweet mother, the Lewis family. Sister Lydia Lewis passed away last Monday, and our dear brother Olin said that he wanted to have me express to the congregation his great thanks for all of the kindness, the love, the prayers, the calls, the visits, the food that was brought to their family. He couldn't express himself enough for all of the kindness that was sent his way, and truly he was thankful for that and desirous that we should all know about that. Somewhere in our work back and forth today, I must have made a mistype somewhere when it comes to our text for the day. And the text that I had on my target was actually 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. And if you're already there in 1 Peter, we'll just flip on over to 2 Peter. And let us be looking at that, if you will. Because and how do I know that I did it? It's because I have 2 Peter in my notes, but above it I have written 1 Peter. And I'm sorry about that. That was my mistake. Well, let's look at this, if you will. And besides this, Peter writes, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Christ Jesus. Today, as we consider growing faith in light of the wonderful mother that we have among us, we're going to spend time thinking on two of these important issues. First, we're going to think carefully about this idea of growing our faith by adding to it virtue. And then we're going to look briefly at the idea of adding to our faith knowledge as we consider this time together today. You know, when we look at this idea of virtue, I looked up some synonyms for that. And here's what I found. Goodness, virtuousness, righteousness, morality, integrity, dignity, honor, decency, respectability, nobility, worthiness, purity, principles, and ethics. Now, can you give them back to me? No, I'm only kidding. But all of those things describe to us virtue. And when we think of virtue, we can't help but think of good mothers, can we? Good mothers, those that we find being described as we look at Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 30. Because those who choose to behave that way do so because they've made a choice to do so. Do you realize that as we have a desire to grow our faith, that doesn't happen by accident? We have to make a decision to do some things to cause our faith to grow. You know, right now I've got a little job at my house There are three rose bushes in the front. They're in little bags. They need to be put in the ground. It's my job to put them in the ground. Now, those things are not going to grow if I don't put them in the ground. If I don't decide to dig the holes, fertilize the ground, and put those things in the ground, they're not going to grow, are they? You see, if we're going to grow our faith, we have to decide to do that. And mothers who are very virtuous their behavior, they have decided to do that. So when we look at what we find in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, the question is raised, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? And I would say to you as well, who can find a virtuous Christian? Because inasmuch as these things apply to mothers and things are very important, they apply to all of us. All of us who desire to be right in the sight of God, because you see, our Lord refers to the church as the bride of Christ. And with that in mind, all of these things apply to us. Remember our definition of virtue. All of those words that describe someone, a person who has great dignity and honor, who has high moral standards, and a person who brings respectability by the way that they behave. My friend, as we look at these things, I believe these need to be goals for all of us. We need to be known by these things. Could it be that you and I, which, by the way, it's not the season to set goals, is it? We always do that first of the year. But I think it's time that we think again. That maybe with the beautiful weather that we begin to think about setting some goals that we would desire to be virtuous people. Because this would come from a desire to please the mighty God. You see, as we continue in that verse, price is far above rubies. Our Lord tells us that a soul is worth more than all of this world. Each and every one of us have incredible value before our God. We see the wisdom of the Proverbs describes this virtuous woman as one who has a value beyond that of money. No one could have anything that could be exchanged for her. Oh, that you and I would live virtuous lives, that we might find ourselves those who would be that valuable to our God. Because you see, we look at this in verse 11, we see that the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. And he has no need of spoil. He has no need. You see, trust is the foundation of good relationships. Amen. Do you trust God? Would you trust Him? He loves you. He has provided for you. He has provided for us that we would be here this very day. Trust being the foundation of those relationships. We see that the husband trusts in his wife, and he knows he can count on her. I wonder what God would say about us today. Can he count on all of us? You see, she makes it her business to provide for his needs. Do we make it our business to provide for all that God would have us to do? You see, he will not be missing anything that is good. Would we be those who would dare to glorify God in our behavior, doing those things that are good in the sight of the Lord? As we begin here at verse 12, we see that she will do him no evil, but do him good. He knows he can count on her, and she's going to do those things all the days of her life. She will lift him up. She doesn't tear him down, and she knows he's not perfect. Think about this. Our Savior loves us and desires to lift us up, and not tear us down, even though He knows we're not perfect. And she will do that all the days of her life. Our Savior will do all that He can to lift us up as well. And as we look there at verse 13, she seeks wool and flax. She's industrious outside of the home. And don't you imagine that she's recognized by others because of her godliness. That's what we see here in this chapter. And yet all of these things again apply to all of us in every walk of life. That others would see our godliness. She's willing to work with her hands. She's not angry or doing things out of obligation. She does those things out of love. She makes a choice to love. And as she does that, she continues to grow every day. And she really enjoys what she does. You see, as Christians, we can be those who would choose to grow our faith and to look to God and to do those things that we do, not out of obligation, but because we love. And as she's described as one who's like a merchant ship that brings those things from afar, and she has no bounds on her business. And you know what I thought about that? I think that's too many times as Christians, we put borders around our Christianity. See, we'll go into the workplace, grown-ups, where we're told we must not talk about those things that would offend others. And you know what the devil has done? He has whispered in your ear, just act like the rest of them. No. We need not to put bounds on our Christianity. We need to be acting like Christians in the workplace to cause others to want to know what it is that's different about us. What it is that causes us to be more forgiving. What it is that causes us to be more understanding. What it is that causes us to be quiet. No bounds on our Christianity. And then we look at verse 15. And we see that she rises while it's yet night. She gets up early. Now, I like early. And I know that some of you who look at me and go like, I don't like early. And I know that some of you said, you know, we've gone places and traveled places together. And someone said, now, you've seen me early. It's not pretty. Me neither. But here's the thing. We get up with this attitude that today I'm going to serve. Today, I am going to serve. And as we look at this virtuous woman, she serves long and serves all that she possibly can. Oh, that we all advance to our Christianity and be those who would serve and those who would be willing to press forward. And we see here something interesting as we look at verse 16. She considers a field and then she buys it. She plants a vineyard. Now, this is a good businesswoman. And we live in a weird society in that people have to choose, and we shouldn't. Someone say, well, either you're going to be a professional mother or you're going to be one who's a stay-at-home mom. And then, you know, people further eyebrows at both of them. There's a balance, folks, and that's what we see here. She's a good businesswoman, no doubt, and never too proud to get her hands dirty. As God's people, we all need to adopt these kinds of characteristics. Those who understand how to get along in this world and do well, and still those who are not afraid to get our hands dirty. And sometimes that means getting our hearts dirty when we love people. And what I mean by that is sometimes it hurts, doesn't it? But we see one here who loves. And because she loves, she does for others. And we look at verses 17 and 18. And the physical things that she does, they strengthen her body. And she realizes that she has value, and the things that she does have value, and she works long. It says her candle goes not out by night. How many mothers I know of have been those who put in hours and hours and hours because they love their family. And that's a wonderful blessing. And still, we can apply those things to our lives as Christians and be those who would be willing to serve, because we see that she is anything but lazy. Oh, that we would apply that to our spiritual lives as well and not be lazy Christians, but be those who are willing to take God with us everywhere we go and let others see Him in us. In verses 19 and 20, we see that she is determined. She doesn't let discouragement stop her. You know, I've told the story of how when I worked in the industrial environment, that there for a while in mornings, when the crews would come in, I would be standing there on the dock plate, you know, welcoming, come morning, we're ready to go, you know. And some people don't like morning people like that. They're like, be quiet. We don't want to see you till we've had coffee. But I like to be cheerful in the morning. I like to be one, and I would greet people when they would come in. And one morning I was standing out there on the dock and just, good morning, folks, because it's time to get started. Everybody was kind of rushing in about 15 minutes till it's time to go to work. And I slipped and fell off the dock. I hit the ground. Now there was almost a round of applause. Shut the cheerful guy up. But we can't let discouragement stop us. We can't let discouragement keep us from being the Christians we need to be. And can you imagine when we look at all of these things here that we see, how much this woman is determined, and yet we need to be as Christians as well. And then we read in verse 20, that she stretches out her hand to the poor and reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's compassionate. And she will truly not let those who are in need go without. So when there are those who take advantage of our good nature, and there would be those who would take advantage of us that way, she would still not give up in her service to others. We need to not let the misbehaviors of those round about us callous our hearts and prevent us from serving our God. As we look at verses 21 and 22, she's not afraid of the snow because she's taking care of her household. She's taking care of her own and her family, and she herself adorned themselves with the work of her hands. And then we get to verses 23 and 24. And we see that her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders in the land. All know of her work, and her husband is known because of her work. And I'm thinking, when he's sitting with the other elders, those men are looking at him and said, son, you married up. I know I did. What a joyous thing it is to know this one who sets such a tremendous example for us. She makes fine linen and sells it. She makes things because she's good at those things, and then she sells them as well. In verses 25 and 26, strength and honor are her clothing. She wears those things as if they were clothes, and she understands that the reward that she will receive will come in the future. And notice there in 26 that when she opens her mouth, she does it with wisdom. She's not. And she's not tearing others down. She's lifting others up with kindness. In verses 27 and 28, she has looked favorably on her own household. And she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She's not sitting still. She has a balance of time for her family and time for herself. And she doesn't waste her time in idleness. I think idleness gets us in more trouble than anything else. Oh, that we choose to serve our God and not sit still. And the example we find there is such because of that, her children call her blessed, and her husband praises her. He praises her. Children, today we need to remember to call our mothers blessed and love them. Husbands, we need to praise our wives for all that they do. Because as we read in verses 29 and 30, many daughters have done virtuously, but she excels them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She shall be praised because her motivation to God or her dedication to God motivates her as well as others. I wonder, would we dare to grow our faith in such a way today and make these kinds of things our goals? Imagine what we could accomplish as individuals and together if we make these kinds of things our goals to grow our faith and to do those things with virtue, the virtue that we find described here. You see, when we read, add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge, I think maybe it's a good time that we should review where we are. Today, have you honored your mother? Many do not have a mother any longer, and we need to consider the time as it goes by. Make sure you honor your mother. But I wonder if your mother came to you with a gift today. If she came to you with a gift today, a gift on the day that she is supposed to be honored, would you accept it? Well, of course, Jeff. That's what love is all about. Well, you see, our God is love. Have you honored Him this year? Have you spent some time in His Word? One of the great things that we can do to honor others is getting to know them by listening to them. And we get to know God by reading from His Word. And as much as we wouldn't want to be thankful, or unthankful, I should say, to a loving mother, we should not be unthankful to a loving God. You see, God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die on that cross at Calvary. We read there in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's how much God loves you. Jesus said, "I've gone to prepare a place for you," in John chapter 14. A place that's referred to in many versions as mansions. It easily translates to a home. He's gone to prepare a place for you. And He tells us that if it weren't so, I would have told you. I wouldn't tell you a tale. But He tells us that the only way we can get to the Father is through Him in 14 and verse 6. So how do we get to the Father through Christ? Well, we read in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 that in the days gone by, God winked at those things that were sinful. And yet, now He commands all men everywhere to repent. That means to make a change. And I think of all of this, the things that God would have us to do to be right with Him, I think repentance is probably one of the great things that we struggle with. That means to make a change, a real change, a change of heart that causes a change of action. And then we read in Acts chapter 8, the history of the Ethiopian eunuch. And when he asked the question, "What does hinder me to be baptized?" in verse 37 we read, "If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may." And he said, "I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." And then he stopped the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he was baptized. Why? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it's for the repentance of, or for the forgiveness of sin, the washing away of that sin. And then when we go back to Acts in chapter 14, verse 22, we read there that after having come in contact with the blood of Christ, we need to be those who live faithfully even through the struggles in this life. Dear friend, hearing these things today, I ask you this. Would you be one today who's willing to put God first and foremost above all else? We hear that, we say that, we all nod our heads to that, but would you really do it today? If you've never obeyed the gospel, you've heard those things that you need to do to come in contact with the blood of Christ. But if you find yourself distanced from God, having done those things and lost your way while trying to live faithfully, there's nothing that we would rather do than to pray with you and for you. Friend, don't wait. Be His now as together we stand and sing.